A log cabin had been built in the center, not the kind of frame and plank arrangement favored by the colonists, but a rugged affair that could have come straight from some alpine meadow. A stone chimney stack formed almost all of one side, smoke wound drowsily upwards. A lot of trouble had been taken to transform the clearing. Undergrowth had been trimmed back, animal hides were stretched, drying over frames, timber had been cut and stacked, a vegetable plot planted. The man who had done it was a well-built 35-year-old with inflamed ginger hair, wearing a thick red-and-blue check cotton shirt and mud-caked black denim jeans. He was working at a sturdy table outside his front door, sawing up wood with old-fashioned manual tools. A half-completed rocking chair stood on the ground behind him. Fenton moved forward surreptitiously out of the shaggy gigantea's shade, but keeping to the cover provided by bushes and smaller trees ringing the clearing. Between thunder broadsides, he could hear the regular stifled ripping sound as the man planed a piece of wood on the table. Then the sound stopped, and his shoulders stiffened. Razor wouldn't have thought it possible. The man was a good 5 meters away, with his back to the hound, and the thunder was unrelenting. Even his enhanced senses would have difficulty picking out Fenton under such circumstances. He and the other two mercenaries were still 400 meters away. Nothing else for it. Fenton cantered eagerly into the clearing. The man looked round, bushy eyebrows rising. "What's this, then? Why, you're a roguish-looking brute." He clicked his fingers, and Fenton trotted up to him. "Ah, you'll not be on your own, then. That's a shame, a crying shame, for all of us. Your master won't be far behind, I'll warrant, will you? Came down on the space planes this morning, no doubt, didn't you? That must have been a trip and a half. Aye. Well, I'll not be finishing my chair this afternoon, then." He sat down on a bench beside the table and started to change, his shirt losing colour, hair fading, thinning, stature diminishing. By the time Reza, Jalal, and Ariadne walked into the clearing, he had become an undistinguished middle-aged man with brown skin and thin features, wearing an aging LDC one-piece jumpsuit. Fenton was noisily lapping up water out of a bowl at his feet, mind radiating contentment with his new friend. Reza walked over cautiously. His retinal implants scanned the man from head to toe, and he datavised the pixel sequence into his processor block for a search and identity program. Although the earlier phantom lumberjack image had vanished, Razor saw the roots of the man's black hair were a dark ginger. "Afternoon," he said, not quite sure how to react to this display of passivity. "Good afternoon to you. Not that I've seen anything like you before, mind. Not outside a kinema. And perhaps not even there. My name is Reza Malin. We're part of a team employed by the LDC to find out what's going on down here." "Then, with every ounce of sincerity I own, I wish you good luck, my boy. You're going to need it." An ounce was an ancient unit of measure. Reza's neural mnemonics informed him there was no reference to kinema in any file. "Are you going to help me?" "It doesn't look to me like I've got a lot of choice, now does it? Not with your merry gang and their big, big weapons." "That's true. What's your name?"
"My name? Well, now, that'd be Sean Wallace."
"Bad move. According to the LDC files, you're Rye Mulvey, a colonist who settled Aberdale." The man scratched his ear and gave Razor a bashful glance.
"Ah, now, you've got me there, Mr. Malin. I must admit I was indeed old Mulvey. Charmless soul he is, too."
"Okay, smart ass. Game over. Come on." Razor led the way back to the hovercraft, with Jalal walking right behind their captive, Gore's rifle trained on the back of his skull. A couple of minutes after they left the clearing, the pink light began to dim back into the same lusterless burgundy of the surrounding jungle. As if immediately aware of the abandonment, playful venals slithered into the trees around the edge of the clearing. The more venturesome among them dared to scamper over the grass to the cabin itself, searching for titbits. After a quarter of an hour, the cabin emitted a vociferous squeak. The venals fled en masse back into the trees. It was another couple of minutes before anything else happened. Then, with the tardiness of a sinking moon, its surface texture leaked away to reveal a starkly primitive mud hut.